Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's Christianity. Jesus died for sinners, for you, and he rose again. And I realize that that is an unpopular opinion in a world that would say that, by and large, Christianity just means be kind. And though they won't say it out loud, be middle class or better. A world that says the miracle that was God becoming man, dying and rising again, is at best a detail and at worst a myth. But I think that's our fault. We love to blame the media or the culture or the times. Half of us secretly hate science, like we think deep down that it can somehow prove wrong the thing we swear saved our soul if only we opened a science book one too many times. But really, I think this is our fault. Because we are afraid to let our faith rest on something the rest of the world would mock. So we have tried to hold it up on our own shoulders, on our own works. And we have convinced ourselves that the kind of Christianity where Jesus rises from the dead is incompatible with the world today. And in doing so, we have accidentally convinced the whole world that Christianity is incompatible with honesty. Just ask, they'll tell you. They say that our stories are just that, stories, fictions, myths, stuff only idiots believe past childhood. But then again, how many of our kids go to confirmation when our adults won't go to Bible study? How many of you have set aside the scriptures as soon as your parents stop making you? They say that all of our standards are for hypocrites, that you cling to these things knowing full well that you don't uphold them. And they're not wrong. We believe in something bigger than ourselves. We believe in 10 commandments that we have not obeyed. But see, Christianity becomes synonymous with dishonesty when we claim that the whole point of the religion is to make us better people, even in the face of this. And so when it doesn't work, we cover it up by making excuses for our sins or hiding our sins or just attacking other people for their sins and saying that they are worse. And we get caught doing this all the time. One scandal after another, one fall after another. That, I gotta think, is why people don't believe the supernatural from us. Look at all the dumb stuff people actually believe. Look at how many stupid things people put their trust in. How many people believe in aliens, in ghosts, in a flat earth, in pseudoscience from some blog about vaccines, in a government that swears they can solve every last problem if only we give them enough money and power. How many believe in conspiracy, in superstition, all without a fraction of the evidence that we have that points to the truth that Jesus truly is risen from the dead? There is something inside of all of us that recognizes there has to be more than just what we see. And we want to believe it too. There are superhero movies made for grown-ups that gross $1 billion. But still, we are convinced that if we tell the truth about Christianity, everybody will see it as a farce for little kids. And it's not because people don't want to believe in the supernatural. It is because we have insisted that it rests on something less. We have done our very best to convince a world that it rests on us. And Christianity doesn't work if it's just about us. You can't even uphold the simple stuff. 10 little commandments. Why would anybody trust you with the unbelievable? I mean, really, if Christianity is just be kind and don't be poor, well, how's that going? How about all the lies that we tell ourselves and each other about how good we are, or at least a little bit better than everyone else? If people are not willing to see us as being honest about ourselves, why would they ever listen to us when we say that the earth is thousands of years old and not billions? Why would they listen to us when we tell them about miracles? Why would they believe in the resurrection from the dead on which our whole faith stands? See, if we insist on being fundamentally dishonest about ourselves, why would anyone hear us about the truths of our God? Anybody who actually needs something real will move on. One, because we don't seem all that trustworthy. And two, because they know that they won't be welcome here for not being so good themselves. And that changes the church. It becomes sort of like a TV show, but wholesome. It becomes entertainment without the dirty words and the violence. I mean, as long as you don't read the Old Testament, where all that stuff is in there. Like, a lot, a lot, a lot. But we'll settle for it anyway. Secretly, we know full well that all that stuff is in there. It's just that we have somehow forgotten how to hope for anything better. We'll just pretend to. We'll just pretend that everything is fine while we whisper to ourselves demonic little sayings about Christianity and inner peace, Christianity and righteousness found in works, Christianity and morality, Christianity and us looking nice. But deep down whispering that if Christianity were true, we wouldn't be here in this. You wouldn't be this weak for having it, this scared for trusting in it, this anxious for being told week after week that everything really will be okay, but wondering deep down if hearing Jesus loves you is enough to actually get you through the mess that you are in. And you surely wouldn't be so sinful for having come here each week only to go home and think and do and say things that you would never mention here, even though this is the one place in the whole wide world you're actually supposed to take all of your sins, because here there is forgiveness for them. And we miss the point. We have told ourselves for too long that if Christianity were true, we wouldn't be here like this. But the truth is, if Christianity were true, Jesus would be. And he is. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I and I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from their countries and bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. Jesus is here to gather in you, the sheep. He is the one who rescues us by his descending into the dark and latter days, into the depth of our despair, into the pit of sin and misery that we have dug for ourselves to drag us back out. And this is not measured in our best getting better, but in our God joining us in our worst. For he himself was incarnate to bear our sin upon the tree. He was made man to bleed and die for you, to win for you forgiveness and life and salvation. This is our faith. Jesus, who is dead, is risen again. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We will not mark our faith by our ability to make ourselves better. We will not redefine our sins or excuse them so that we can look good. We will see a cross where Jesus dies for us sinners and know that we are not alone in whatever mess we have made for ourselves or inherited from someone else. In fact, we already have the victory over it. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. For our Lord came into this world not just to sympathize with sinners, but to conquer sin. To destroy death, to bear it on a cross and leave it behind, clawing out of an empty tomb, a resurrection from the dead, not just for himself, but for you. For your sins are forgiven you, all of them. Which means you can talk about them in a different way. Honestly, brutally. We have sins. Lots. Too many. They're bad. You shouldn't do them. Me either. It's true. Dark days. They'll still be dark. That's true too. But our Lord will still be risen. He will be risen indeed. Alleluia. This is our faith. For even now he continues his work to comfort and forgive and save you. For he is the good shepherd, and he will not and he cannot abandon his sheep. This then becomes the core of our identity. It is not about us at all. It is about more. It is about more than our kindness or our wealth or our strength. It is about our God. It is about his death and his resurrection, for he is the good shepherd. We're just his sheep. And that's probably good, because there's more hope in being tied to his miracle than to our lies about what we can build for ourselves. This identity that you have been given in Christ is more honest than anyone in the world who would call you a liar or a hypocrite, because we don't need a spin anymore. We don't need an excuse to believe in what the world would call a myth. We need a Lord who can conquer death, and we have one, for Christ is risen. So we will honestly confess the situations we find ourselves in. We will honestly confess our sins, and then we will confess our Savior, the Lord who has conquered death. We are the sheep that he has rescued. We are sinners stranded in the darkest of days that Jesus has saved. We are the baptized. You are the baptized. So you baptized, hear the promises that the Lord makes, not just to some people, but to you. He says, I will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. The fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. See, Christianity was never a religion for the ones who think they're already good. They'll get the fruit of what they're actually worth when all the lies they tell themselves get peeled back and exposed. But Christianity is only for sinners. It is only for the helpless, for the outcast, for the weak, for me, for you. Christianity is for us sinners that Jesus has redeemed, so that when you are weak, and when you are desperate and afraid and anxious, when you don't fit, when you know the depth of your sin and uncleanness, when you are wondering whether or not simply knowing that Jesus loves you is enough to get you through this mess, you can know and you can even hear the truth. He has joined you in this mess. He has joined you in this sin. This love took flesh, and it has already defeated your enemies. Sin, death, the power of the devil, all of it brought to nothing where Jesus bled and died for you on that cross. And he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. For the good shepherd will never tire of seeking you, his sheep. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds unto life everlasting. Amen.